You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church podcast. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can give at www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar helps advance the kingdom of God. We hope that this message edifies and encourages you to do the great things God has called you to do.
Okay, let's just get right into this, all right? We're snow daying it out, and I want to get right into Mark chapter 5. If you're at home, you have a Bible. Hopefully, if you don't have a Bible, we're going to get you one. And if not, you know, grab your Bible app. That's why I'm on Bible app, dude. A little free promo. Hey, listen, I've said it, and I'm going to say it again. If you're not on the reading plan with us, we're going through the Bible in 1 year. This is the most encouraging, seriously, the most encouraging church thing we've done in a long time. We're all getting together, reading the Bible together in 1 year. In fact, this sermon is coming straight out of our reading. This is from Thursday, I believe, Mark chapter 5. So you already know the story if you're a part of it. If you're not a part of it, you're falling behind. Jump on it. Get on it with us. We'll put a link in the description. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to give you a minute. Today's sermon, by the way, is really about staying with Jesus. That's what we titled this, Stay with Jesus. That's what we're going to have as a title. And so if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down in the header. You're going to want to take notes today. Today is about encouraging you guys. I hope you want to be encouraged while you're at home taking the day off in the snow. I don't know what the snow looks like in your area, but I'm hoping it's snowy enough that you could build a snowman. That's what I'm hoping for. I haven't built a snowman in years. All right, Mark chapter 5. We're going to go all the way to verse 21. I'll just give you some context for a second. Jesus is just got kicked out of a town. You know, he's maybe the most popular man on earth, but he's in a town, and he did some crazy things. Actually, he did nothing. He showed up, demon-possessed man got set free, and the town kind of freaked out, said, "We don't want you here, Jesus." So Jesus jumped back in the boat. And we find ourselves in verse 21, and I want to read it to you. I want you to follow along. I'm reading out the New King James Version. It says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again," so he's leaving that place, crossing over the same sea that he crossed, "to the other side, a great multitude, a great gathering of people came to him. And he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogues came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.' So Jesus went with them, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." I want to point out two things. Number one, it's crazy to me. Just if you read just a little bit before this, the first thing that happens with Jesus, he gets off at a different land, and immediately someone runs to him and gets healed from a demon. It's amazing. And then he comes back, and immediately someone falls at his feet. And it's just, I want to point that out, is that Jesus was a busy guy. He was a busy guy, but I'm happy he was, huh? But check this out, man. This is what I really want to point out, is that Jairus is a lot like us. He's just a normal guy. Jairus begged God earnestly. He said, "God, I earnestly need your help." Listen, I'm going to equate this with prayer just because, I mean, isn't that what prayer is? He fell at his feet and said, "God, please, will you help me? God, please, my daughter's dying. Will you come and help me?" And I want to talk to you about your prayer life, and I want to hit on two separate things. Number one, I want to encourage you. I hope you pray. When I say pray, I hope that you talk to Jesus. I hope that you take time every day to talk to God. This year, we've made a practice as a church to read the Bible together. But I want to encourage you, because we're going to be pushing this a little bit more and more. Every week, we're going to be pushing this more and more. I want you to be people who pray. See, Jairus waited to go to Jesus. He waited till it was a desperate time. He needed a better reason. A lot of us are like that. Our prayer lives are a lot like Jairus, that we only fall at his feet when we're desperate for something. I know that I often fall into that trap, especially when I was younger. You know, I've told you guys stories about praying for math tests I didn't study for or whatever, but I've had many situations where I was overwhelmed. God had told me one time, this is a very quick story, one time the Lord had told me to go and apologize to somebody. I made a mistake. It wasn't on purpose. I didn't do something out of spite, but a mom had allowed her kid to come to our youth group. You may have heard this story from me. And I lost the kid at the basketball game. And I was an irresponsible 18-year-old youth pastor. I didn't do a good job. And I didn't take down any numbers. I didn't know who the girl's mom was. I didn't have a phone number for the mom. It was maybe the worst case scenario. Well, I stayed up all night, me and my helper, me and this other girl who were leading the youth group. And we stayed up all night looking for that girl, and we couldn't find her. And we went to bed that night. And the next morning, I woke up to someone outside my house screaming and yelling. Ends up, the little girl found a way home. She got home, but the mom had found out that I, who was responsible for her daughter, had lost her. And that mom chewed me out. She was saying things that were freaking me out. She told me that she was going to kill me. She told me she was going to blow up the house I was living in. She said she had a shotgun. She was going to come blow me away. And I was in my window on the second floor looking out the window. And I was terrified of this girl. I'm just looking out the window, kind of, you know, thinking like, oh, this is it. And she's just chewing me out, man. I had nothing to say back. I'm sorry. Well, that day, the Lord just put it on my heart, you need to go to apologize. You need to take responsibility. And I'm a big fan of taking personal responsibility, but at this moment, I was terrified to go to her house. And so that day, I went into the bathroom, and I got on my knees. I'll never forget this. I was crying to God, God, please save my life. I'm going to go to her house, and she's going to, I could just imagine knocking on her door, and a shotgun just, you know, blows me away. That's all I could imagine. And I remember I was desperate. I was desperately praying for help. Now, I want to show some contrast before I finish this story. The night when I was looking for that little girl, I wasn't praying. I was angry. How could this little girl, she was chasing some boys and she got lost. She's 15 years old. I was like, how did this girl do this? And I was upset. And I didn't even stop to pray because I wasn't desperate. I was angry. And so in my anger, I just, you know, stomped around. Why did this little girl do this? I can't believe she's giving me all this trouble. But then when I got to the place that I needed help, I found myself at the feet of Jesus. Well, of course, if you've heard the story or if you know me, I'm still alive. I didn't die that day when I knocked on the door. In fact, the mom was so sweet to me. She told me that she understood. She even blamed the daughter for running away. I still took responsibility, but the mom changed her mind. All that story is to say is that sometimes we don't go to Jesus because we're not desperate enough. And I'm looking at Jairus, and he's in a desperate situation. His daughter's dying. He's desperate enough to say, God, I got to be with you. I got to get to you. I need your help. Now, I want to just give you some encouragement for a second. Can you and I make a practice that we don't find ourselves at his feet only when we're desperate? You know, that's not what we're meant to be. You know, and when he created us in the garden, it says that he would walk with us. It would walk with Adam and Eve daily. They were together. They were in fellowship. You and I are created to have fellowship with Jesus. We're created to walk with him. You and I, that's right, you were created to be with him and have fellowship with him. And I'm saying all that to say that I relate with Jairus. I know you do too. Your best prayer times are in places of desperation. But can we make 2022 a time that we say our best time of prayer and intercession and being before the Lord isn't when we're desperate, but rather it's in our daily routine. I speak to him. I'm intimate with him every day. Your relationship with Jesus is dependent on your prayer life. One last example, just so to nail this out. Your prayer life is a lot like if I'm married, I have a beautiful wife and kids. Could you imagine if my relationship didn't have any communication in it? I didn't talk to my wife. It would be a pretty sorry relationship. Don't let your relationship with Jesus be that way. All right, that was a lot. But I want to get to this point that Jesus went, and it actually says this right here. It says, so that Jesus went with him in verse 24. Because the man came and asked him, got to his knees, said, hey, will you come heal my daughter? And there's something that says here. It says, and Jesus went with him. That's verse 24. And Jesus went with him. Isn't that kind of a beautiful thing? Hey, can I loosen up a little bit? You know, we're in church. We're doing this, you know, we're doing this live stream. We're in here. But, you know, I don't usually, can I steal this camera? Come here, give me this for a second. Hey, hang on. Flip this camera around. Hey, you too. Out of here. There we go. Hey, look at, there's the studio. There's Eli, my camera guy. Hey, Eli, you want to turn on the lights in here? Yeah, I want to get a little bit more comfortable. As you know, I'm just told you guys about prayer, but come on, we're not professional videographer people. Hey, look at this. Yeah, there we go. Ah, ha, ha. All right. Isn't this better? That way I can, there we go. Man, oh, man. Hey, yeah, I'm going to be taking you around with me for a little bit. This is church at home. Why would we make you sit still? Wouldn't it be nice to move around? Where was I? What was I talking about? Oh, his prayer was answered. And it says that Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. I want to encourage you. Listen, I keep saying encourage because I got something on my heart. Sometimes, you know, when I preach, I'm just preaching conviction. And that's good. You need it. Some of you guys need some encouragement. I want to say this to you. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you are a believer in Jesus, Jesus is with you. Now, I'm saying that because I'm thinking about Jairus. He just prayed to the Lord, I need your help, man. I need help. My daughter's dying, you know? You and I have been in those positions. Maybe not your daughter's dying, but God, I need help in this situation right now. I need you to intervene in this situation. And what happened? It doesn't say that Jesus even agreed. It just says, and Jesus went with him. I can imagine how hopeful Jairus was at that moment. Jesus was walking with him. I don't know if you've ever had a moment where you prayed, you know, and you get in that prayer closet. I've had these before, you know, that prayer closet, and you're praying, God, I need you. And there's just this feeling all of a sudden upon you. You go, man, I feel like the Lord heard me. He's upon me right now. There's something that's changed. There's a feeling. There's an atmospheric change. Have you ever had that before where you're praying and all of a sudden things just change? You know that Jesus is with you? Well, that's what Jairus is going through. He just fell at the healer's feet and Jesus goes, all right, and walks with him. Jairus is full of hope. Jairus's prayer is on the journey right now of being answered. The prayer journey that he just prayed for, he's on a journey. And I want to say this, a lot of us have prayer. Oh, look, I'm not good at this. Stop looking at my cool sore. Stop looking at my cool sore. And when you pray for something from the Lord, you go on what I like to call a prayer journey. It's that the journey to seeing that prayer answered. Jairus's prayer journey started with Jesus walking with him. I want to say this about your prayer life. Most of the time when you're praying, your prayer journey starts with that Jesus is walking with you. That's maybe the most important thing about any prayer that you've ever given to the Lord. Lord, I need help with something. And then the next thing you know, he's walking with you. It's key. I'm looking at Jairus getting his prayer answered. And actually, can I just stop for a second? Can I just say this really quick? Because I believe this, and maybe I'm old school. Maybe I'm too Pentecostal. I believe that prayer works. I believe that going before the Lord, falling at his feet and making your request known to him moves him. I believe that. And Jairus is over here. He falls at Jesus' feet and he's praying to him, I need your help. And it moved Jesus and he's walking with him, okay? So I want you guys to know, as a church, we believe in that kind of healing. We believe in that kind of power of prayer. But it says that Jairus is walking with him. I want you to imagine this for a second in your own life or just maybe Jairus' life. There was probably a ton of hope. God is with me today. I am walking with God. Have you ever prayed something and you had that confidence afterwards? You just feel good? Well, the story gets a little bit crazy. The story actually gets a little bit tough for Jairus, and we're going to talk about it because I think you and I have both been in a situation where we feel like God's doing something great, and then all of a sudden, everything changes. Have you ever had that? You're praying. God encounters you. You feel him walking with you. You know that he is with you. Can I say that? If, as believers, he is with you right now, whatever prayer journey you're on. But sometimes there's some hiccups in the road, and this is exactly what happens to Jairus. If we continue reading, it says that the crowd followed Jairus and Jesus. The crowd wanted to be with Jesus. There was a bunch of people with a bunch of other needs all around. Jairus wasn't the only one. And while Jesus was with Jairus, a woman comes through the crowd and touches Jesus's robe. Because she says to herself, if I could just touch his robe, then maybe then I'd get healed. 12 years I've been trying to find something, some kind of help, but if I could just touch his robe. Now, I love that story. The woman gets healed instantly, right? It's a really incredible story. But I want to keep Jairus as our main focus for a second. Jairus has his daughter dying. He is desperately needing Jesus in his life, but there's a distraction that enters in. And it's not a bad distraction. Listen, it's not the enemy. It was a good distraction, but I can just imagine myself being Jairus. I'm on the journey. Jesus is with me, and I'm going to see my daughter get healed, right? The healer, my last hope is showing up. And while we're walking together, I'm leading Jesus. I'm saying, Jesus, this is the way. He stops. He stops on the journey. He stops on my prayer journey. I'm moving forward, and everything freezes because someone in the crowd stopped Jesus. And it says, actually, that Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? And the disciples say, what do you say, who's touching you? Everybody's touching you. They're all around you. Everyone's thronging. They're reaching out, trying to get you. Now, as Jairus, right, as that character, could you imagine for a second the pressure that he must have been going through? His daughter, whom he loves, is dying, and time is ticking. This is kind of a last resort. He finally got Jesus to be with him. Jesus is walking with him. And while he's going on this journey, the crowd is slowing them down. And then some woman reaches out and she gets healed. And Jesus actually stops in that moment. He stops. He stops the journey. They're supposed to be going to where he's been praying for. He's supposed to be seeing his daughter get healed. That's what he's supposed to be doing. But everything stops. Now, to that woman, it was a miracle. But I can imagine to Jairus, it was a distraction. It was a turn in the road. Have you ever had those prayers where you're praying and you say, God, I want this to happen in my life? And then when it starts happening, everything's looking good. And then all of a sudden, things change. Like everything changes. Like there's just distraction all of a sudden. It gets even worse. Can I just tell you, the story gets even worse, all right? And this is, we're getting into point two. Point one is Jesus is with you, okay? That's number one. That's the best news in the world. That's the best hope in the world. But number two, it says that the little girl died while Jesus stopped. When Jesus stopped and looked at that woman with blood, someone came and said, Jairus, leave Jesus alone. Your daughter's dead. It's over. Everything was going perfectly right. Everything was working out perfectly. And then what happens? A big hiccup. Man, you know how many times I'm praying for somebody, but then God help this person get saved. And I start seeing them and they're starting to walk a little bit differently. You know, they're asking questions about the Bible. And I'm getting encouraged. And then all of a sudden, one day I find out that, you know, they're in some deep sin or their life is a mess. And all of a sudden I'm going, God, I thought you were answering my prayer. What happened? What happened? Why is it so distracting? What happened? We were on the journey. You were answering my prayer. You were walking with me. And then distractions came in. The circumstances changed. I bring all that up because I'm seeing a story of Jairus. I could only imagine, and we could see it in the scriptures. Jairus had this hope. Jesus is going to do something great in my life. But his hope was deferred. It was pushed off. There was too many distractions. There was too many things that got in the way. And it says this in scriptures, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I could imagine Jairus was so excited, had so much hope in the beginning, right? So much hope in the beginning. He was so pumped up. Jesus is with me. Who could be against me? You know, I'm going to march my way right to my daughter's room. I'm going to march right into that prayer request. I'm going to see that prayer request answered. And he gets in there. And before he even finishes his journey, it goes completely sideways. The story ends in the worst of ways. Hey, sir, your daughter died. Give up. Tell Jesus you don't need him right now. It's over. You probably had that, man. You've had opportunity after opportunity. You've been praying to Jesus. Jesus, I need you. I need you in this place. And opportunities start showing up. You know, things start changing, right? And then one day, it switches. Everything looked so good, and then it just wrecks. That's what happened to Jairus. And this is what happens in the time that Jairus' hope is deferred. His heart is sickened, right? His gut, I can just imagine his gut turning. He just found out his daughter died and he missed it, right? He totally missed it. He wasn't there for her last breath because he was desperately seeking out Jesus. He was walking with Jesus and he felt like he missed the opportunity. And in his head, he's probably wanting to blame everybody else. He's probably thinking, man, if it wasn't for these people, if it wasn't for that woman, you know? And this is what Jesus' answer is to him. Hey, Jairus, says in the scriptures, just believe. That's it. That was the answer to him. Just believe. You see, Jairus had every reason to give up on seeing his prayer request be answered. He had every reason to give up on his prayer request being answered. His prayer request is impossible now to be answered. Things have changed. Circumstances have changed too much. You know, when he started the journey, when he went to the Lord, there was hope that something might happen. When he felt the Lord walking with him, when he saw the Lord with him, there was hope that something would happen. But then the news changed. Then that little glimmer of hope, my daughter's still alive, became she's not alive anymore. And your situation might not equate with a daughter, but I know so many of you guys have prayed for God to do something. And you've gone before him. And you said, God, will you do this? And you get this encouragement that he's with you. He even speaks to you. I'll go with you. I'm with you. I'm going to walk with you. And you start going, and then your hope gets deferred. Your prayer request takes a turn, a hard turn. You thought it was going a certain way. You could see how it's going to happen. You could see God's going to do something great, but all of a sudden your finances take a turn, or all of a sudden relationships take a turn, or all of a sudden your situation or your job takes a major turn, and it feels like whatever that thing God was going to do in your life all of a sudden just gets sidetracked. It just gets side, what's that called when a T-bone, like a car, sideswiped. Just sideswiped, boom, it's over, you know? And this is Jesus's response to Jairus, but I want to say this to you guys. If you're walking out in a prayer journey going, God, I want this in my life. I need this. And you're begging him and he's walking with you. And all hope seems to fade. Listen, I know there's people watching this who've been wanting to have children and you're praying to the Lord, God, help me us have children. I want this to open up. Can I just say this to you? Can I just encourage you for a second? Everybody, you might be in the worst position right now. You might be in the very worst position. Things may have changed to the worst. The doctors might be telling you something crazy, but I just want to tell you what Jesus said to Jairus about his daughter who passed away. Just believe. Just believe. Jesus is walking with you. You got to just believe. Well, Pastor Tommy, how am I supposed to just believe? It's impossible. That's exactly what Jesus said to Jairus. His daughter had passed away. There was no more hope. But his answer wasn't, oh, you know, we could figure something out. His answer was, just believe. You know what he was saying? Just believe the one who's walking with you has the power to make this thing happen. That's what he's saying. Just believe. Just believe the person who is walking. Can I say that to you for a second? Listen, I'm in here, this big old church by myself. Look at this. There's no one here. Me and Eli are in here. Like, can you even see this? No, there's no one here. Empty chairs, you know. Everyone's at home. Snow. Hey, there's Eli back there, blurred out. Hey, Eli. He's really good. He's getting all these secret shots. Can I just say this to you? Because I'm getting all pumped up in this church by myself. I'm not even hearing amens from you guys. You might be at home saying amen. You should be typing them out. Type out amen if you're excited. I'm getting pumped up. The man who walks with you, the God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the God of all creation, the one who walks with you can still fulfill the prayer even when hope is deferred. Even when you don't think that person will ever turn to Jesus, you should still say, God, I believe that you could do it. You're walking with me. I believe you could do it. I want to point something else out because point one is that Jesus walked with him. Point two is that Jesus is advice to him when his heart was deferred was just believe. But I want to go back to point one for a second. Jairus's hope was deferred because he didn't see how it was going to happen. But his hope was really deferred because he forgot the one he walked with. And I want to say this about you and your hopes and your prayers. Hope doesn't get deferred because of the circumstances around you. Listen, you don't get discouraged because the circumstances around you. You know where real discouragement comes from? You forgot who's in you. Greater than he who is in the world lives inside of you. He walks with you. The one that no thing is impossible. The one who holds the galaxies in his hands. My voice even got too high for that. The one who holds the galaxies in his hands is with you. There is nothing impossible for him. And Jairus needed some encouragement, and the encouragement to him was, hey, just believe. Believe that I am the one. Believe that I walk with you. Just believe. That's all you got to do. If you're taking notes, the sermon story or the sermon title was Stay with Jesus. But the first two notes are just remember that he's walking with you. And when you're in that place of hopelessness, just believe. Believe who he is. Believe that he's walking. Believe that the one who is walking with you is capable of doing a mighty work. This is where things get a little crazy, though, because you've probably, I'm going to just tell you, it's true with your prayer life. Look at this. My filming is not great. Isn't this better, though, walking around? I don't want to be standing in front of that light. It's like real church. It gets a little crazy, though. This is that Jairus, if you continue reading, Jairus takes Jesus, and he goes into his home. There's all these people mourning, right? They're saddened by what has happened to the little girl. They're there kind of almost as a job, and culturally it's what they did. And Jesus walks in, right? And this is what Jesus says. Oh, she's only sleeping. She's only sleeping. She's sleeping. And it says everybody starts laughing and mocking Jesus. Read it. They start laughing. This guy doesn't think we know what a dead person is. This Jesus guy's a wacko, you know? But I want our character Jairus, the person we're going to be relating with, our protagonist here, I want to go to him for a second. Have you ever brought a solution that everyone else mocked? Have you ever done that? Jairus is his daughter who's passed away now, but he was looking for a solution. And he said, I'm gonna put my faith in Jesus. I'm gonna put my trust in Jesus. I'm gonna go before him. I'm gonna ask and request of him. And while he walks with me, as he's encouraging me, I'm gonna bring him into that room where I need that miracle to happen. And he gets into the room and everybody makes fun of his solution. What was his solution? Oh, I believe Jesus is gonna do something. I believe that Jesus is an answer in this situation. And everybody in the room is mocking Jairus' solution. Jesus? I mean, I believe in Jesus, but you have to have some common sense. Yeah, I know Jesus could do everything, but you need to have some wisdom, okay, Jairus? She's gone. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever had like a prayer request or you share something with somebody and you say, I really believe Jesus is going to do this? And they say, hey, you know, good luck to you, you know, best of luck. But I mean, I believe in Jesus, but you know, you got to do your part. Jairus walks into a room and his solution is mocked. In fact, Jesus kicks everybody out of the room. He kicks everybody out of the room, he says, except for two of his disciples and the mom and the dad. He kicks them all out of the room. Now, I'm imagining Jairus for a second. You know, he's prayed to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need your help. He's been walking with Jesus on this prayer journey, right? His hope gets deferred. He's told to stick close to him. Says, just believe. And when he gets into the room, everybody doesn't believe. No one else believes. It's just him, his wife, two disciples. Two disciples, I want to say it this way, two people who are supposed, it's kind of like pastors, if you will. They're supposed to believe. They're supposed to be there. And Jairus has an opportunity at this moment to walk away. He has a total opportunity to say, Jesus, I'm going to leave with the crowd. They're right. She's not asleep. Like, why would you even say that? That feels insensitive, God. This isn't it. You know, this isn't working out. They're right. I should just move on. I should use my head. I should use some wisdom here. She's passed away. It was too late. Maybe it would have never happened anyways. Maybe I'm a fool. Maybe I shouldn't have believed in this. Maybe I was believing for something too big. Maybe you don't want that for me, God. Maybe it's too big. But instead, Jairus does something. He stays in the room. He stays with Jesus. When everybody else is being pushed out, he says, I'm going to stay here. Listen, he had to make the decision. I want you to remember that Bible people or people in the Bible are people. He was experiencing this in real time and he had a decision that moment. I could leave this room and I could go with everybody else. They're right. Jesus, you're wrong. She's not asleep. She's dead. They know. But he decided to stay with Jesus. You see, the story starts with Jesus coming with him. The story ends with him saying, I'm going to stay with you. I'm not going to leave. Jesus, I need you on this journey. I'm praying that you will come and do something. I need you to come into my life and do something. And that's how it started. But by the end of the story is flipped. And all of a sudden he's saying, but I'm going to stay with you, Jesus. And it was in, this is good. All right, if you're taking notes, it was in staying with Jesus. When everybody else left, when everybody else thought he was crazy, when everyone else thought the solution was junk, it was there that he got to see the miracle. It was in the point of, I'm staying with you, Jesus. I don't care if everyone else leaves the room. I don't care if I'm alone with my prayer request dead in the room, with my prayer request unsuccessfully answered in the room. I'm not going anywhere. I will stay with you, Jesus. And you guys could read the rest of the story. Little girl, arise, he says. And the little girl rises from the dead. See, Jairus' story is a lot like yours in my prayer life. Probably picked that up already. We ask the Lord, Lord, will you come with us? I need you in this situation. I need you in this relationship. I need you in this financial thing. I need you in this job thing. I need you in this personality thing. I need you in this save me. Will you walk with me? And God is so good. He's willing to walk with you. But when things start getting crazy, you have to make the choice. I want to stay with you, Jesus. Doesn't matter what happens. I'm staying with you. There's a scripture in Amos that says, how can two walk together unless they first agree to do so? Such a simple little phrase, but it's so true with your walk with Jesus. Jesus is willing to walk with you to answer your prayers. He's totally willing to walk with you. But in the end, our third point is that you have to decide to walk with him, to stay with him. Even when things get nuts, can I walk around a little bit with you? Even when your life gets crazy, even when things are tough, you're called to stay with him. Even when the answer doesn't seem like it's going to come, you're called to stay in the room. Even when you don't think that relationship's going to work out or that person's not going to change, Jesus says, well, just stay with me. Even when that prayer request is dead, I'm saying dead like that little girl, it's over, there's no more hope. It had to be a miracle. Jesus says, well, just stay in the room with me. Now, I want to encourage you today. I don't know where you're at in your prayer journey. I don't know what you've been asking for. I don't know what's going on. But Jesus is walking with you. Don't forget that. He's walking with you as a believer, guys. As a believer, he sends his Holy Spirit, his comforter, to be within you. Isn't that crazy? That's baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, man, when you guys gather together, I'm in the midst. He is walking with you. Don't lose that thought. Don't lose that truth. Jesus is with you. He's in your marriage. Jesus is with you in your job. He's with you in your thoughts. He's with you in the secret times. And I don't know where you're at in your prayer part or in your journey. You might be in the place of great hope. Jesus is with me. I can't wait. But maybe you're in the place of disheartening. Things have changed. Circumstances got to a place where there's no way this is going to work out anymore. I just want to encourage you. Just believe. Don't forget the one who's walking with you. Just believe. God is going to pull through. But finally, and this is maybe the most important part, when you find yourself in the room and no one else is there, and you decide you're going to believe and no one else believes with you, not even your friends, not even your family believe anymore, your neighbors, your church, no one believes anymore, you have one call. Stay. Stay with Jesus. You have one call. Jesus, if you're in this room and my prayer request is dead, there's no hope. If you're in this room, then I'm in this room too. I want to stay next to you. Because in staying with Jesus in your walk, in staying with Jesus in your prayer, not trying to look for another solution, not leaving the room, not moving on, not doing anything, but saying, God, I'm going to stay with you. You're walking with me. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to agree with you, Jesus. By doing so, that is where Jairus saw the miracle. Jairus saw the miracle by staying with Jesus. Everybody else missed it. Everybody else said, I can't believe it. I don't want to do it. They missed the miracle. But it was because Jairus stayed with Jesus. What does that look like in your walk? What does it mean to stay with Jesus in your walk? Maybe it's saying, God, I'm not going to give up on what you've told me you're going to do in my life. Maybe it's saying that, God, I'm going to believe, even though no one else believes, I'm going to believe it. Maybe staying with Jesus looks like to you is, God, my feelings are hurt that this didn't work out. I prayed to you and I didn't see an answer, but I still believe that you're good. I'm going to stay next to you. Maybe staying with Jesus is just saying, Jesus, my life has been really hard, but I want to make sure that doesn't matter. I want to take out the time today to talk to you, pray with you, like we talked about in the beginning. I want to pray today. I want to read the word today. Maybe staying with Jesus is as simple as saying, Jesus, I'm happy with what you are happy with. I just want to be next to you. Saying, Jesus, my hopes are dead, but as long as I stay next to you, I'm satisfied. Jairus, in the middle of staying with Jesus, not giving up when everyone else did, that's when he saw his miracle. Can I say this? Your miracle, I don't know what God's going to do. But I believe you're not going to see it unless you stay with him, until you stay close to him. You don't take your eyes off of him. Today's message, staying with Jesus, is basically that. There's a lot of points there. Jesus walking with you. Pray. God answers prayer. Jesus walking with you. When you're feeling discouraged, just believe. Put your eyes back on the person who's inside of you. But lastly, when push comes to shove, don't walk out of the room. Stay with them, because that's when the miracle comes. Amen. Hey, I want to pray over you. This was just supposed to encourage you on your walk with prayer and your walk with Jesus. Whatever you're praying for and whatever is going on in life, whatever you're seeking out, I just want to pray real quick that God would remind you just to believe, that God would move in your heart. Father, I pray that us as Christians, as we're walking, God, in different prayer requests to you, God, in different walks, and God, some of us are praying for healing, some of us are praying, God, for miracles, and some of us are just praying for direction. God, we pray right now, Father, that we'd recognize that you are with us. Jesus, you are with us. How crazy is that? Remind us, God, you're with us. Forgive us for taking our eyes off of you. You are with us. And God, as we go through life and sometimes we get discouraged, I pray, Jesus, that those words would be reminded, just like you did to Jairus. Just believe. Just remember the one who is with me. Just remember the one who's with inside of me, the one who forgave me of my sins and purified and made me his child. I want to believe again, God. Help us believe. God, let us be like that one guy in the scriptures. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, just encourage us today that we would believe. And lastly, Father, I pray that, God, we would be encouraged to stay with you. And we wouldn't try to look elsewhere for answers. We wouldn't try to go with everybody else. We wouldn't be looking at what the crowds are doing. We say, God, I want to just stay with you. While the rest of the crowd is laughing and mocking and leaving the room, leaving the miracles, leaving the prayer requests that we've been seeking and going after, God, and everyone else is calling it dead. God, we don't want to follow them. We don't want to follow if it means logic. God, we're just saying we want to stay with you. We want to keep our eyes set on you. We want to hear your voice. We don't want to move, God. We don't want to leave the room. Because, God, we know in staying with you, that's how we see miracles. In staying with you, that's how we see change. In staying with you, that's how we see people's lives get changed and relationships get fixed, God, is by staying with you. By staying with you, Father, we see the outcome come into the goodness of you, Jesus. We see the finances come into place, God. We see our worries taken care of. We see our anxiety removed, Jesus. And it only happens by staying with you. I pray that the word would be opened up to us, God, as we read the word, that we'd be encouraged. I pray that our prayer lives would be encouraged today as we recognize, Father, that you walk with us. All we have to do is just believe and stay with you. God, thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you've never received Jesus and you're watching the sermon and you watch this whole sermon, I'm going to just tell you right now, if you never received Jesus in your life, there's something happening in your life right now. God's calling you. If you sat through a whole church service and thought, you know, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or maybe you're backslidden and you want to receive Jesus and you watch this whole sermon, I want you to know that means God's doing something in your life. There's no way that a non-believer would sit through a sermon without Jesus, the Holy Spirit, sort of tugging on your heart. If you want to get make a commitment, you're in this place, you're watching this video, go, man, I want to make a commitment to Jesus. This is your time. I want you to hit us up in the comments. You see all these people commenting? Not a ton, but there's enough people commenting. I want you to get on here and just say, hey, I want to receive Jesus. We're going to reach out to you today, okay? Hey guys, church, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the snow. For some of you, it's not snowing at all. For some of you, it's snowing heavy. I want you to be safe. You know, don't get in car accidents. We don't want anyone hurt. But more than that, I want you to take this time today and the next day, these next 2 days, it's very cold. I want you to stay with Jesus. Be praying to him, talking to him, stay in the room with him, even when no one else is. God bless you guys. I love you. And I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
'Enjoyed today's sermon. Once again, if you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com to help us advance the kingdom of God. And don't forget to check us out on the Church Center app and all your favorite social media platforms. Until next time, be blessed and go and do the great things God has called you to do.